This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Eliza Bavin, and I'm a senior journalist here at Financial Standard. This month, Robeco released a new report celebrating 30 years in emerging markets and the three trends that it says will define emerging markets' second growth wave. So to discuss those trends, I am joined today by Robeco's head of emerging markets, Wim Hynepaals. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So the report says that emerging markets will provide richer investment opportunities than developed nations over the coming decade. Why do you believe that is?
Well, it's part of the trends, partly related to the trends, right? So further urbanization continues. We're going to see many more large cities in emerging, in India, in Indonesia, in Brazil, in China as well. The technological innovation continues. Companies in Korea and China are vital for the AI phenomena, right, which is here to stay. Artificial intelligence is only growing faster than ever before, and it's going to continue its momentum, we think. And some of the Koreans and the Taiwanese are crucial in that whole chain, the generative AI. So we're going to see more earnings growth coming in emerging. Particularly this year is going to be a year of big earnings resilience. Earnings growth this year is going to outpace the earnings growth in developed markets. And at the same time, you have this ultra low valuation parameters, right? Price earnings multiples close to 10 relative to price earnings multiples in developed markets that are approaching 18. So a huge discount in emerging markets, which is not sustainable. If you look at those trends, those long-term sustainable trends and tendencies, and the earnings growth, which is resilient this year and beyond.
Well, I did actually want to talk about the technological innovations. The report noted that they would be a big driver of growth in emerging markets in the coming decade. But why do you think that it will be a bigger source of growth for emerging markets rather than developed nations who arguably may be better set up in terms of existing infrastructure?
Well, the developed companies, they need the emerging companies to grow their businesses in AI, in the iPhones and what have you, right? So the whole supply chain is built among these Korean and Taiwanese developers of IT hardware. So they cannot do and they cannot grow without them. And it's the technological advancement in Taiwan and Korea that will keep them as the world leaders as far as nanometer technology is concerned, for instance. So they are absolutely global leaders in that sense and beating their US peers in that regard as well. So that is the reason why they continue to grow and they continue to grow in share price as well, given their attractive valuation compared to the same US counterparts. They're trading at double, triple the valuation levels as these Koreans and the Taiwanese counterparts. So that's a huge gap, which is not logical and not sustainable in our opinion.
And let's also have a chat about volatility. You noted that volatility has fallen sharply in response to improvement in EM fundamentals, and that, in fact, it wouldn't be surprising to see volatility fall below that of developed markets. Why do you think that might be?
Well, looking back, you see that volatility has converged between developed and emerging. So they're now at roughly the same level. So the same kind of risk in emerging as in developed, which is a great advantage, right? An advancement relative to the past. Emerging markets always were perceived as much higher risk than developed markets. It's actually the same now. At this moment, they have the same sort of risk characteristic as developed markets. And going forward, it's always tough to see what is going to be the risky asset class. But given where valuations are, there's much more downside in developed markets, given where some of the U.S. companies are trading. You can foresee that there is a derating in developed markets happening going forward and a re-rating of emerging markets in the not too distant future. So then it means a better environment and less volatility perhaps as well in emerging relative to developed markets.
And many investors kind of tend to believe that geopolitical shifts are one of the bigger risks with investing in emerging markets, but you actually see that as an opportunity, the geopolitical shifts. Can you explain a bit more about that?
Well, we think there is a power shift away from the West, so to speak, away from the US that used to have the power monopoly, right? That's sort of ending, and the US has to deal with more powers in the foreseeable future, with India, not only China, but India as a prominent superpower in the making, right? The largest democracy in the world, India, currently the elections going on as we speak, close to 1 billion voters. So it takes also a month. But yeah, it's not only the US that rules those global institutions like the IMF, the World Bank, the United Nations. There's much more say coming from countries like China, but also India, Brazil, and Indonesia in the longer future, right? So those are large economies that will grow faster than the Western countries in terms of GDP growth, in terms of population, in terms of say, and in terms of importance for the global arena. So it's going to be much more balanced in a way. So we have more power blocks, if you wish, not only the US, but also Europe, the emerging power bloc, China, but also India and Brazil and Indonesia. We're not believers of the BRICS concept as such. There's no way there's gonna be a BRICS currency or whatever. But we are strong believers in an emerging market power bloc going forward.
And I notice that as we're speaking about these big potential opportunities in emerging markets over the next decade, lots of talk of India, Korea, Taiwan. But China isn't playing as big a role. I think that shift has been taking place for a few years now. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on China going forward? Do you think that it will take up less of a percentage of emerging markets portfolios given its equities have been underperforming and its GDP is kind of slowing? Do you think it's taking a step back to allow other markets to kind of come to the fore?
Yes. Long term, we think China is going to underperform emerging markets, ex-China then, right? Not only on the GDP slowdown, but also their population is shrinking, the working population is shrinking, their labor costs are rising, and it's a competitive world. And in that competitive world, India, Indonesia, Brazil, Vietnam are countries that are much more competitive from a unit labor cost perspective than China is. So China used to grow on the sort of manufacturing hub in the world, right? Well, that's sort of coming to an end. Multinational corporates are now firmly on the China plus one strategy. So the extra production facilities are not being built so much in China anymore, but in India and in Brazil and in Mexico, across the border from a US standpoint, in Indonesia and Vietnam. So those countries are much more to benefit from the growth of the multinational corporates, which are also developed market-based. But the growth will be in ex-China much more than in China itself. They're going to keep their facilities and maintain them in China, but they're going to spread the geographical risk by setting up operations, big operations in India. And it's iPhones, it's across the hardware space that multinationals are setting up operations in India and in other parts of Southeast Asia and Latin America.
And do you think India is well prepared to kind of take on that role in terms of its supply chains, its government? I mean, the Modi government has obviously implemented a number of changes mm-hmm. over recent years, which have been positive. But do you think India is well set up to be able to kind of take that place as China slows down?
Yeah, sure. It will be successful there. And Modi has done and will do most likely, he will most likely win the election. So he's done a great job over the last couple of years and he will do more. Made in India is a crucial theme he is embraced. And he's doing, he's executing on that well in terms of huge capex in going into infrastructure. We just need it, right? Airports, railroads, ports, seaports, but also in the technological infrastructure. India is a leader in emerging and in the region, in Asia in particular. So they are ahead of the pack in terms of technological advancement, and the population has a lot of technological products and services already that can deal with those trends. So the infrastructure is ready to cope with the growth going forward in India and other parts of the region as well.
Well, Wipine, that's all the questions I have for you today. So thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.